is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report's Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high definition. So subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNS Radio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to The Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to The Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com. Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome in to the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Nick Sesento this evening, taking your phone calls on our Movement Watchers toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. And who could forget that the Boston Celtics post-game show right here on CLNS Radio is the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your Boston Celtics. Your final score from the Garden tonight: Celtics hang on and defeat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nick, your final score, 103-99. Nick Sesento, first impression, that what has to be the Celtics' really first signature win of the season.
I think we've said that a couple of times this season, but this one really does feel like a signature win, especially given the situation the Celtics were in. I think there was kind of like a bad taste going into the All-Star break with that, you know, bad call on Marcus Smart over Jimmy Butler. Then we come back out of the break, first game out of the break, and we dropped that game. And I think there was kind of a general feeling around a lot of people within Celtics Nation. I know that you host shows on other stations, and you probably heard the call-ins from people that weren't quite so happy watching Cleveland and Toronto land, impact players while the Boston Celtics didn't. And I think that the situation of the Celtics kind of, staggering a little bit coming out of the All-Star break, having not made any moves, kind of gave people a sour taste in their mouth. But this just proves that, with or without a move, the Boston Celtics can compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just from my perspective, it just kind of makes you wonder what would have happened if Danny had made even a small move to address some of the rebounding needs, how competitive we could be going forward in the playoffs. But good win, signature win. Happy with the result. Had me on the edge of my seat till the end of the game. So fantastic win. Definitely the signature win of the season so far.
Absolutely. Got a pretty hard take on them, and I guess I might as well give it now. I was covering the team when Danny Ainge got here in 2003. I covered the team under Jim O'Brien in 2001 and 2002 that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Everybody remembers that team as the first really good Celtics team in the new Garden. Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker, Kenny Anderson, Tony Delk, Tony Batty. I mean, it was a great team. It was a fun team to watch. Rodney Rogers. But that team had its limitations, right? And Danny Ainge gets here about a season and a half removed from that Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics disappointed against the Pacers. The Celtics actually won the division that year and disappointed against the Pacers in the playoffs. Danny Ainge comes into town. And rather than add to a team that was a year removed from going to the Eastern Conference Finals, Danny Ainge holds a press conference and he says, "We're not about hanging division banners. We're about winning championships." And he proceeded to tear the team apart and start over again. I wasn't surprised at all to see Danny Ainge unwilling to make a move here. It's not for lack of trying, but I think once he realized he was going to miss out on Jimmy Butler and Paul George, and frankly, I don't think that there was any interest at all in DeMarcus Cousins, so let's remove him from the discussion. Once Danny Ainge wasn't going to acquire one of those two available stars for the price tag in which Danny Ainge was willing to pay at this point in the season, everybody else, it didn't really matter, whether it be Andrew Bogut or any – look, there was a handful of these smaller moves that got made. Serge Ibaka a couple weeks back. None of those guys are going to help this edition of the Celtics compete for a championship. They're just not. This team is limited. They do have a ceiling, and that ceiling is not the NBA Finals in all likelihood. So I think Danny made a calculated decision. And even if it was the smallest asset, my old co-host Jeff Hickman is all about the Celtics acquiring Nerlens Noel. And the Celtics probably could have had Nerlens Noel for a limited sort of cost in the short term. What people don't want to understand is that whether you agree with the price tag or not, Nerlens Noel is going to earn himself a $100 million contract. The restricted free agent, somebody's going to give him $100 million because of the upside, because of the potential for him to be a game-changing big man. Look at the money that Timothy Mozgov got. Look at the money that Biombo got. If you're a big guy in the NBA and you've got some sort of upside where you could have star potential, under the new CBA, with the money the way that it is, you're going to get $100 million. And the Celtics, it's been well documented on this program, Nick, they've got essentially 1.5 more max contracts to give out here. They've got a big decision to make when it comes to Isaiah Thomas. I think we all know that they're a bit infatuated with Gordon Hayward, whether you agree with it or not. They were not going to tie themselves up in a $100 million deal for Nerlens Noel. Therefore, if that asset was even a late first-round pick, be it the Celtics in 2018 or one of the handful of other teams the Celtics own, and say a Terry Rozier, whether you value those assets or not as a fan, Danny Ainge still considers them assets, and he was not going to give up any asset for any rental player. So as disappointing as the trade deadline was, when you take a step back and you look at Danny Ainge's complete tenure here as a general manager / president of basketball operations, it really no surprise, at least to me anyways.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, knowing Danny Ainge, I think that from a perspective from somebody who's not an insider, who doesn't, speak to anybody affiliated with Danny Ainge, from what I can see from the outside, looking in is that Danny Ainge has this kind of compulsion to win every single trade and win it by a long shot, basically pick somebody's pockets. And I think that he comes with that mentality at the same time that other GMs approach, Danny Ainge with caution and know what he has in his treasure trove of assets and are going to ask for, you know, a high price starting out that they might not have asked for somebody else. I agree that Nerlens Noel, you know, is going to probably get that $100 million contract given, you know, the state of the NBA. The salary cap has, you know, been crazy. It started getting crazy last offseason or this past offseason. It's going to continue to be crazy. Unfortunately, I guess we, you know, blew our load on Al Horford, you know, trying to lure Kevin Durant to come in here. And instead of having, you know, I think 23 years old is what Nerlens Noel is, a 23-year-old Boston kid that can rebound and play defense. We ended up getting, you know, old man Horford in his oldest of old, you know, incarnations, because while he had a good night tonight, I was, you know, ready to, you know, to ream him coming onto the show. But as his stats, you know, slowly accumulated throughout the game, he's kind of like a slow burn. You know, he looks like he's coming out and he's just throwing up turds all night, and then suddenly he ends up coming close to a triple-double by the end of the game. But, you know, we could have had somebody that was young that could have factored into the future. It's a Boston kid. Maybe, you know, I think that the market on him, I might be proven wrong, and I'll give you the credit if I am, that, you know, he's been injured a lot, which is one of the reasons why I think Philadelphia gave him up for so little, basically 2 second-round picks and Justin Anderson and, you know, Andrew
Bogut's
contract.
Justin Anderson was a high first-round pick, right? Justin Anderson was somebody that did come in with some sort of upside, and he still got a lot of potential. So he wasn't exactly a throw-in.
That's true. I mean, he's a player, the young player, young asset that I think probably addresses. He's a wing player, I believe. I'm not that familiar with, you know, the back bench of the Dallas Mavericks. I don't follow the Mavericks that closely. There's too many other things going on to follow the Mavericks like that. But, you know, he's a wing. I think that's something that, you know, Philly wanted. But it still shows that we probably could have gotten Nerlens Noel. I think Al Horford is here almost exclusively because somebody got wind that, you know, Kevin Durant wanted to play with Al Horford. Al Horford is one of those things that one of those players that Kevin Durant was looking forward to playing with. We went out and grabbed him. We got him for what the going rate was. I don't think we overpaid because somebody was going to pay for him. It just turns out that the way that he's playing, whether it's the system, you know, for Brad Stevens, whether it's his health, he's just not. I mean, literally as a scoring option, if you look at him as a scoring option, he's literally the fourth scoring option on this team behind Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Jay Crowder. And that's,
but he
I don't
is,
think
he is right now. He is right now, okay? And I think he's struggling with some confidence issues, and we can certainly delve into the whole Al Horford offensive problem as the program goes along. Nick, I have no problem with that. I am going to defend Al to a certain extent. He had a really solid game tonight, nearly a triple-double.
Yep.
You know, came up a point short. I will say this about Al Horford. Isaiah Thomas having a career season shooting the basketball. Kelly Olynyk, when he's on, he's on, and he's shooting the basketball well. Jaylen Brown starting to shoot the basketball very well. Jay Crowder having a career best 3-point shooting season. None of those things happen without Al Horford on this team, without Al Horford on the floor. And you can laugh at me all you want. I've defended him on Boston radio, on CLNS radio, on a million different outlets, a million different stations in the last 2 weeks. Am I disappointed in his offensive output? Of course I am. Do I think it will get better? I do. But with all that being said, you said it a moment ago, Nick, the Celtics paid the going rate. And Al Horford, if you watched him in Atlanta, he was never going to be a guy that gives you 20 and 10, but he is a guy that makes every single one of his teammates better with all the little things that people generally don't notice all that much. And he does them very, very well. And for the Celtics and for the team that Brad Stevens is coaching right now, he's fit in seamlessly, and he's made each and every one of his teammates better. Your final score from the Garden tonight, the Celtics, hang on. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Your final score, 103-99, in what I think is the Celtics' really first signature win of the season. I really want to get into this with you guys on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Couple of questions for you guys to think about as you're calling the program, as you're waiting on hold. When it comes to this Celtics team, does tonight's win change your opinion as far as what this team's ceiling could be in a potential matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers come playoff time. That's question A. Question B, do you think that this game tonight gets the Celtics sort of off the schneid from what's been just an ugly sort of 10-day stretch going into the All-Star break and then coming out of the All-Star break? So a couple of things to ponder as we take your phone calls here on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines at 347-215-7771. It's Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Sesento right here at CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. And, of course, our opening segment this evening is powered by SeatGeek. As the Celtics playoff push continues to heat up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get your tickets to every single Celtics game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for an incredible value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it is by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, anytime, any place, and listeners to this show know that I travel the country weekly for my day job. SeatGeek is something I must have as a Boston sports fan. With just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek because I bought myself some Billy Joel tickets for Fenway Park this summer. Couldn't get them at the box office. SeatGeek had them. I paid a very good price, and I got $20 back from CLNS. So here's all you guys need to do. You download the SeatGeek app for your phone. You go to the settings tab and you add a promo code. Enter promo code CLNS and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today. Your final score from the Garden, Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. Want to take your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. 347-215-7771. Let's go to Miley in Ohio. You're first up on the Celtics post-game show this evening. Miley, what's on your mind, man?
I was just happy to see us get the win against the Cavs because they're tough to beat. And I think that that gives us a lot of confidence going forward. And hopefully we play like that in the playoffs so we could potentially knock off the Cavs and send them home crying.
Let me ask you this, Miley, because, I mean, you watch the games coming out of the All-Star break. The Celtics looked, let's say, out of rhythm. And then if you pay attention, I don't know if you listen to Boston sports radio in Ohio or not, but here for the last week, essentially it's been, okay, Isaiah Thomas is hit a bit of a rough patch here. Is that sustainable? Will IT come back and continue to be the king of the fourth? And the other storyline here was, were the Celtics kind of exposed? Their Eastern Conference sort of rivals all made minor moves to improve their playoff positioning. The Celtics decided to stay pat, and then lo and behold, the Celtics struggled. A game like tonight, do you think that this changes anything?
A game like tonight, well, I mean, we still need a rebounder, but I think we played better on defense, though, having Bradley and Horford, they were playing excellent.
Having Bradley back, I think, he hit that big three tonight, Miley, and we appreciate the phone call. We've got a lot of calls to get to this evening on our SeatGeek Movement Watches toll-free phone lines at 347-215-7771. Having Avery Bradley back, and again, it's in limited minutes right now, Brad Stevens being incredibly cautious, trying to get AB back 100% in time for the playoffs, but he did. You saw that defense that he played on Kyrie Irving late in the fourth quarter, then coming up with the huge three-point field goal to give the Celtics the lead in the final minute of the game. That's what Avery brings to this team. He gives you that second legitimate scoring option, Nick, and somebody that's got sort of the stones to take that shot where it's not just Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder.
Well, I don't think – obviously not in terms of age. He's not the elder statesman, but in terms of being a Celtic – Avery Bradley has seniority here. He's no, you know, stranger to, you know, big games. He played with the big three. He's played in some pretty intense situations. He even dethroned early in his career, dethroned the I was gonna endow him with some positive attributes, but I just won't even bother. He dethroned that guy that used to wear number 20 that holds the all-time three-point record that used to play for us in green, but then decided to betray us. Avery Bradley actually replaced him in the starting lineup. So he knows, like you said, he has the stones, he has the cojones, he has the balls to go out there and, you know, take those shots, to hit those shots. And not only that, but the defense. He put the clamps on Kyrie Irving, and we have some callers on the line that were really impressed with Avery Bradley's defense on somebody like Kyrie Irving. And that's what I've been saying, I think, for a while now, is that we have some of these games where players, some of the smaller guards will, you know, get into the paint because obviously we don't have any paint, you know, rim protection in the paint. And these small guards will get past a guy like Isaiah Thomas, or will get, you know, a screen and get into the paint. And Avery Bradley is just that one guy. Said if Avery Bradley were in the game, he's the guy that would put the clamps, that would put the defense down on those players. And that's exactly what he did tonight. Not only did he hit some big shots, really big shots, huge shots, but also, you know, locked down Kyrie Irving. And I thought that was extremely impressive, something that we needed badly, dramatically.
Avery Bradley, 11 points tonight in just 22 minutes of action. Again, I can't stress this enough. Having a healthy Avery Bradley back and working his way towards 100% is going to be absolutely instrumental in whatever success this Celtics team has as we come down the stretch here and enter the playoffs. Your final score from the Garden tonight, Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. Continuing to take your phone calls right here on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Let's go to Sam in San Diego. He's been waiting a while. Sam, what's going on, man?
Guys, oh my God, Avery Bradley. You know, I was thinking all this time we need to get rid of him. We keep smart and we move forward. He was incredible. What would Cleveland give? I'm sorry, what would Golden State give to have him last year in Game 7 against that Kyrie Irving shot at the end? I mean, that was just incredible to watch tonight. Just the foot speed. I mean, the handles that Irving has, and to be able to stay with him the whole time, that was incredible. I had to call in because I almost always agree with Nick, except for the whole Greg Monroe thing. But tonight, you know, Al Horford, I understand he's having a bad season shooting the ball, and he's not a great rebounder, but this is a professional basketball player. He's a high character guy. If we didn't have him, we'd have Jared Sumser out there playing most likely in his position, or maybe Olynyk down the stretch. I don't know who we'd have up front. To me, I have a lot of confidence knowing that he knows where he needs to be on the court. He knows where to place the ball. He had 10 assists tonight. I'm just really excited about seeing them play this way tonight. I think we all expected them to come out and play well after that debacle against Atlanta. And I don't know, I'm just really excited. I saw a lot of good things tonight. Jaylen Brown looked fantastic out there. He continues to progress.
Oh, yeah.
And he continues to progress in crunch time minutes. So I don't know, overall I'm really excited about the playoffs. I think we're in for a great playoff run.
Sam, I have a question for you real quick. Sorry to cut you off, Patrick. Since you brought up Jaylen Brown, and that was the first thing that I wrote down when I was watching the game, because when I do the show, sometimes I'll write down some notes. And the first thing that, you know, came to my mind watching Jaylen Brown, and he hit some big shots as well in this game. He's really making the most of his time. Now he's back on the bench since Avery Bradley is back in the starting lineup, but he's really making the most of his time in a unique situation for a lottery pick being on basically what you could consider a, you know, quasi-contending team, a borderline contending team, a number two team in the Eastern Conference that just knocked off the number one team, by the way. What do you think Jaylen Brown's chances are of winning Rookie of the Year? Because he's not just running wild like a lot of these other kids that get drafted in the lottery and play for a trash team and can basically feel their way out the way they want to because they're not really playing for anything other than basically padding their stats because the team is building. Jaylen Brown isn't in that situation, but his stats are still relatively comparable, if not better than players like Brandon Ingram and other players that were, you know, picked either above him or around him in the draft. What do you think are his chances of getting the Rookie of the Year, Sam?
I don't think his chances are good only because the media seems to have a narrative all the time, and right now the narrative is Joel Embiid or maybe Dario Saric is what I keep hearing. You don't hear Jaylen Brown at all, even though his
Joel Embiid is out for the
minutes.
Season.
Right, yeah, and they're still talking about giving it to him. But the thing about Brown is that, I mean, he's obviously making an impact. And, you know, like they said on the telecast, he's in there to make he's in there to help value in winning. So yeah, I mean, I think the smart writers would vote for him, but I don't think enough of them are out there. You know, I think the other thing is when you watch the last few minutes of the game and you see the five-man lineup that we have out there now with Bradley out there, and you see that Jaylen Brown doesn't actually get a spot in that top five only because we've got five great players out there. And that kind of shows you where we are now, because I feel completely comfortable if Jaylen was one of those five that was on the court the last 2 minutes and we just didn't have room for him. So it's exciting stuff. I'll let you guys go. I know you got more callers, but I wanted to say I'm really excited. I just got my tickets from SeatGeek, and I'm going to go see the Celtics play in L.A. against the hated Lakers on Friday night. So thanks a lot, guys. Go Celtics.
There it is, Sam. We appreciate the phone call. And Sam brought it up right there. The Celtics are about to embark on a pretty significant West Coast road trip here, starting off with the Lakers this Friday night. West Coast road trips, regardless of your competition, are never easy. It's a critical time for the Celtics as they maintain just being three games behind Cleveland with this critical game tonight. It could have been five. Three is better than five. So the Celtics hit the West. And they've got some winnable games starting off this Friday against the Lakers. And Sam said it right there. He's going to use his SeatGeek app, get his $20 back by using the CLNS promo code, and go check out the Celtics and the Lakers from Staples this Friday night. It's the Celtics post-game show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Sesento this evening, continuing to take your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines at 347-215-7771. I see you guys waiting on hold patiently. We certainly appreciate it. I implore you to stay on hold throughout the break. It's a jammed-up night tonight. We're approaching playoff time. It is March. The Celtics with a real playoff type of feel in the building tonight, and they come through in a big way, knocking off LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And LeBron James, by the way, about a month ago, asked for reinforcements, and since then, look at all the reinforcements that the Cleveland Cavaliers have given King James, and the Celtics still manage to knock off Cleveland tonight. A big game, a signature win for the Celtics. When we come back, though, there's a couple things I want to get into. I do want to get into the additions that Cleveland was able to make. I want to continue to sort of hone in on this whole Al Horford thing, what the realistic expectations are when it comes to Al Horford and his ability to potentially return to the role as your second guy offensively for the Celtics. And we will check in on your current Eastern Conference standings. It is the Celtics Post Game Show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics post-game show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code, and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click on Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
I joined Get in Shape for Women because my health demanded a lifestyle change. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, and my weight was high. I love the trainers. They make it fun. They make it accountable. I'm getting lots of compliments, feeling confident, feeling fabulous. My name is Michelle Burns. I'm 46 years old. I'm down 25 pounds in three dress sizes.
Sign up for your free week trial today. Visit GetInShapeForWomen.com. That's GetInShapeForWomen.com.
Welcome back. It is the Celtics postgame show. It is CLNS Radio, CLNS Radio.com. Patrick Gilroy alongside Nick Sesento this evening, taking your phone calls on our movement watches, toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Celtics win tonight, just a huge victory. Your final score from the Garden, Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. LeBron James with a triple-double this evening, a couple of very loud dunks, LeBron James doing LeBron James things. And what really stood out for me was the Celtics' ability to sort of absorb Cleveland's punches and punch back, despite the fact, and I know the paperwork is going to say that the Celtics out-rebounded Cleveland tonight, but 6 minutes to go in that fourth quarter, I don't know how many times I had a little check mark on my paper here doing my show prep. Every single time Cleveland was given a second shot opportunity because of the Celtics' inability to grab a key defensive rebound, specifically that last one of the game where, look, Deron Williams found himself wide open from the corner. 7 out of 10 times when he's that open, that thing goes in. The Celtics were lucky to get out of there with a win tonight. But nevertheless, a win is a win is a win. And the Celtics going out tonight and getting a win against the number one seed, sort of holding serve in the Eastern Conference, expanding their lead on the Washington Wizards and the Toronto Raptors while keeping pace just 3 games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Celtics head out west for what is going to be a critical West Coast road trip. Want to continue with your phone calls here in our movement watches. Toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Let's head out to Ty Ray, who's out there on the West Coast, and I'm jealous of Ty because it's only like 8:15 where Ty Ray is right now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
yeah,
I'm just fucking wind here, Ty. You know, I'm tired.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man.
I'm doing Boston radio from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. tomorrow, so I'm up at 4. Then I got to go to the office for the day. Then I've got to host WEI in Boston tomorrow night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. I'm embarking upon a 24-hour radio marathon here, and it's like 8 o'clock where you are. I'm so jealous.
I know. I've been there, done that, man. It's you're living the dream, right? You're just living the dream. Anyway, great
like
win
that.
Tonight, man. This has been this was just, I mean, an incredible win. What I really liked about this win tonight was the energy level of the team. I mean, from top to bottom, everybody that played tonight brung it. I mean, I know Rozier, you know, the guy can't hit a shot to save his life right now, but he plays with high energy. I mean, it was just a deep, deep effort tonight by everybody involved. But the reason really I wanted to call is because I'm kind of getting sick and tired of the Al Horford bashing. Now, you and I, Patrick, we've hosted, together 3, I think, post-game shows together.
Yeah.
And each time it seems like Horford's been awful, and we have gone out of our way to be very critical of him. But tonight, I think Al Horford was the guy that set the tone with his energy level in the first half. I know he didn't put up a ton of points, but, man, he seemed to be everywhere and was fierce out there tonight. And for those people who don't think he's worth the money, they're so full of it. I mean, there are players worse than Al Horford that are commanding that kind of money. And Al,
hey,
if you're
now,
expecting a 2010 guy, if you're expecting a 2010 guy, you're nuts. That is not Al Horford. Al Horford is a good, you know, cog to a team, period. His scoring isn't really that much further down than it was in years past. His rebounding is there. I just am really getting sick and tired of people bashing Al Horford. I don't know what they want from him. In fact, I would say that Al Horford may be the big reason the Celtic offensive production is up this year because he's able to spread the floor. He's having a career year in assists. He can shoot from 3 more so than he has in previous years. So I'm going to hand it to Al tonight. He is a big reason, and I think the reason the Celtics won tonight for setting that tone early on in the game. As far as his energy level was concerned, they never let up. I mean, he was the example tonight for them.
Nick, I know you want to get in on this. Go because I'm with Ty. I'm 1,000% with Ty here. I'm tired of the Al Horford bashing. When I host on WEI Radio, the calls that come in, the Al Horford bashing, the casual fans that don't watch a lot of basketball, they don't understand what this guy brings to the team. And you nailed it right there. It's how I started the show, Ty, and you just said it again. The Celtics are having such a great season offensively because Al Horford is on this team, period.
He spaces the floor, which they didn't do last year at all. It was very clogged for Isaiah. Now they're one of the best offensive teams in the league, and Al's scoring hasn't really suffered because of it. I think he's only down, a point, point and a half or something from his his career totals, his averages.
But it's been highlighted, you know, since they came back from the All-Star break. He has struggled to score coming back from the break. And look, it's going to happen, right? The Celtics are going to go through these tough stretches when it comes to Al Horford. He could score more if the Celtics force-fed him the ball in the post.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. But that's not how this team plays. And I credit Al Horford for not going to the media, for not making a big deal out of this. Most times, if you're a three- or four-time All-Star in this league and you're a max contract guy and you're not getting your shots, if you look at how many shots he takes, it's often 6, 8, 7, you know, type. It's never
right.
15, 18, 20 shots. He would go to the media. He would make a big deal out of it if it was anybody else saying, I need my shots. You want me to produce? I need my shots. The Celtics offense doesn't really – it isn't conducive to Al Horford being a 16, 18, 20-point-a-night guy as it is right now. Maybe that will change come playoff time when things really slow down and you see more of a half-court set. But the Celtics offense that we've seen for 5, 6 months so far this season – I'm sorry, it's not conducive to a guy like Al Horford giving you 20 points a night. It's just not going to happen.
Not. That's not his game. But what he does is open up opportunities for everybody else. And I just get so tired of the naive fans who sit around and eat Cheetos and play Xbox and think they know the game. It just drives me crazy, man.
Nick, it just does. Is Ty describing you, Nick? Do you eat Cheetos and play Xbox, Nick? Is that why you don't like what Al Horford's bringing to the table?
No, I don't eat Cheetos. They made out of cardboard. But, you know, this is the thing. This is the type of, you know, passive-aggressive pot shots that you guys will sit and take. You'll sit there and, like, bash me while I'm sitting right here on the line listening to you guys talk. No, listen, I'm not saying Al Horford is a terrible player. All due respect to you, Tyree. I'm just messing with you. I'm not saying Al Horford is a terrible player. I'm not saying Al Horford is a terrible player, but we did not bring Al Horford in here to basically be our leading, you know what I'm saying, ball distributor. You know, we didn't bring him in here to be, you know, point center. We brought him in here to at least give us some rebounding. No, nobody expects a double-double, even though if you look, you know, basically through the first, you know, two-thirds of his career, he averaged somewhere close to 10 rebounds a game. He averaged a double-double once in his career. But other seasons, he averaged well into the 9, you know, rebounds per game. I personally think ever since the pectoral tear, his game kind of started moving outside, and that's why he now has, you know, this, you know, a game that kind of is less post-oriented and more out to the, you know, outside, more to the three-point line. But I don't think he's a particularly fantastic three-point shooter at, you know, 33.8%, you know, 34% three-point. It's good. It's not bad, but he's not fantastic. I think we brought him in here. Well, we brought him in here, number one, because we wanted to lure Kevin Durant into the team. That didn't work. We got stuck with Al Horford. We brought him in here to give us something of a presence on the boards, something of a presence in the paint on defense, something like that. And the thing for me about Al Horford is, if we were going to bring in a big man on that huge type of contract, why not get somebody that's a little bit younger? Why not get somebody that's not clearly on the decline? And he is on the decline.
You keep saying he's on the decline, and I'm very basic facts here. But his career statistics are 14.3 points a game and 8.7 rebounds per game, along with 1.2 block shots per game. Just going with the top three lines right there, I'm not going to get into shooting percentage, 3-point shooting percentage. That's his career.
No, but that's including his rookie season.
His season is 14.1, 6.6, and 1.5. He's right on par with what he's always been.
Okay, but listen,
he's having a career year in assists, right?
That's fantastic. I love having a shooting guard that leads the team in rebounding and the center that leads the team in passing. That's fantastic. And assists. I love that.
I will let you get to your point. I will say this, okay? We had Austin Ainge on our program last week, and Austin pointed something out that I never really paid much attention to. But Austin said, I want you to pay attention, Patrick, to the way that Al Horford boxes out. And when Al Horford and Avery Bradley are on the floor together, Avery Bradley is a dominant rebounder. That's because Al Horford is an elite guy when it comes to boxing his opponent out. That doesn't necessarily translate into rebounds for him, but it does carve out space to let little guys get into the paint and grab rebounds. Guys like Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart are certainly athletic enough to take advantage of that open space that Al Horford creates by properly boxing out his opponent.
My question is this. we defend Ainge's moves by saying, well, this team isn't going to compete with Cleveland anyway. This team isn't going to go to the NBA championships anyway. This team isn't going to do anything anyway. So we basically just take a flyer on an MVP caliber season from Isaiah Thomas because this team ain't, you know, SHIT anyway. They're just nothing. We're waiting to win in the future. Well, what the hell does a 30-year-old Al Horford, who's, like I said, not doing the same things that he did earlier in his career, how does he factor into a future,
honestly,
winning team?
Nick,
how does he factor into a winning team when he's already old? I don't understand.
First of all, I don't think he's that old, Nick. I understand your point, but I think that this team is going to be built to win for the next 5 to 10 years, and I see Al Horford as being a part of that. Every team needs a veteran presence. So I disagree with
you.
He's only 30
get
years old. I mean, how old was Garnett? I don't know, but they might have somebody who will accompany him next year. I don't know. All I know is this team is much better this year than they were last year. I'm going to ask you a question, Nick. Is this team better than it was last year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. What was the big acquisition they made this year?
Last year. Yes, it was Al Horford, but that's not.
Okay.
Marcus Smart didn't improve this season. Avery Bradley didn't improve. We didn't acquire Jaylen Brown. None of these players making it. Isaiah Thomas hasn't improved since last season. You're putting all of that by saying Al Horford. This is the same argument that everybody makes about every one of our role players, is that they have all these intangibles. And I guarantee, what Austin Ames said, I'm sure that's fantastic. They do have these intangibles. But the point you just made a second ago, Tyree, is it, well, we can bring somebody else in who can pick up for the deficiencies. No, it's about time this team has some players that don't need, you know, a yin to the yang to pick up for the deficiencies.
Wow.
We need
not for nothing, but the championship team in 08 needed a yin to the yang. Kevin Garnett needed Kendrick Perkins, and when the Celtics lost Kendrick Perkins in 10, there was no yin to Kevin Garnett's yang, and the Celtics didn't win the championship.
Yes, but Al Horford is Kendrick Perkins, not Kevin Garnett. That's the difference.
And by the way, you know, those teams, let's not get into it because we could talk, Patrick, I'm sure you and I could do a show all night about those teams, but those teams were not great rebounding teams either. So let's not get carried away here.
You're exactly right. And Ty, their phones are loaded up tonight. We could do this all night.
No problem. It's great talking to you guys.
I appreciate you calling in, man. And look, I can't wait to do another show with you. There's Ty Ray out on the West Coast doing his thing. Look, Nick, you get passionate about this. I love talking to you about it. And look, I don't disagree with you to a certain extent. Am I disappointed in Al Horford's production? Yeah, I am. But with all that being said, I don't think he's this archaic dinosaur that you're making him out to be. I think you're selling him short. And I think that as the Celtics – look, it's year one with Horford here. I don't think that you get the MVP caliber performance that you've gotten out of Isaiah Thomas this season without Al Horford on this team. He has incredibly spaced the floor. He is one of the better passing big men in the league. And whether you like it or not, and whether you think that's worth $130 million a year or not, is certainly up for debate. But the Celtics are a much smoother offensive machine this year because they've replaced Jared Sellinger, who can't get a job in the NBA right now, with a three-time All-Star, and Al Horford. He's not Kevin Garnett. He's not Dwight Howard. And for people that think he is one of those elite big men, he's not. He's a key cog in a very good team. And I think that the Celtics, for the people that think that because the Celtics didn't make a move at the trade deadline means that this is what we're rolling with for the foreseeable future, I think they're sadly mistaken. I think Danny Ainge has proven one thing. He wants to maximize his assets. So very quickly here, because I do want to get back to the phone calls and our Movement Watch's toll-free phone lines, if you're out there on deadline day and you're flaunting the Nets pick this year, there's no guarantee it's going to be top one, top two. It very well could be the fourth pick. I think it's a 52% chance it's one or two, and a 25% chance it's one. So if you're trying to pry away a star with that lottery pick, it's not as valuable as it is post-lottery. So I think Danny Ainge was completely comfortable rolling with the team that he's got now going into the playoffs, knowing that they do have a ceiling, barring some sort of a miracle. There is a ceiling on this team. And knowing that if the Celtics are lucky enough to come out of the lottery with a first or second pick with Fultz out there, and there's a good solid three or four guys that could potentially be franchise-altering players. But once you know what that pick is, and you make that call to Chicago, and you make that call to Larry Bird, when you're flaunting the number one pick, maybe you don't have to add in so many of your role players. If you believe the report that was coming out of Pacers camp, it was the Celtics were going to have to give up at least one of the Brooklyn picks, then three out of four of the following role players. I think it was Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, and Jaylen Brown. Three out of four of those guys. So you know what happens if you trade the 2017 Nets pick and three out of four of those role players that I just mentioned for Paul George? You have the Indiana fucking Pacers here, okay? It's a 500 team. And I'm going to take advantage of being on internet radio tonight because I'm on terrestrial radio tomorrow. So I'm going to take advantage of being able to say that because this argument makes me angry. I am not interested in having a star on a 500 team. So, again, I don't think that this is far from a complete sort of picture here. I think there will be significant additions made in the offseason, and it's only year one of Al Horford. The good news is I think that much like Paul Pierce, where he had, you know, old man game, so to speak, and his game really didn't have a precipitous drop off until about 2 years ago, I think you're going to get similar production out of Al Horford at 31 years old compared to 35 years old. I think he'll be roughly the same guy. I don't think there's going to be this big precipitous drop off because he doesn't rely on this incredible athleticism to be an otherworldly player. He just is what he is, and that's a solid guy, a solid player who makes his teammates better. It is the Celtics postgame show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Nick Sesento on a heated program tonight, a program that probably shouldn't be so heated. The Celtics with a huge victory at the Garden tonight, like a feel-good night at the Garden, has turned into just a heated discussion here on the Celtics postgame show. Your final score, Celtics 103, the Cleveland LeBrons 99. Let's get back to our movement watches, toll-free phone lines, and bring in Matt in Tampa, who wants to talk up Avery Bradley. And I don't blame him because Avery Bradley with 11 points in 22 minutes and some incredible defense on Kyrie. Matt, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? It's good to hear some passion and hey, you guys argue about Al Horford. I don't know how you can complain about a guy that just got 9 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds, but that's just me.
I can really complain about anything.
what I wanted to call in tonight about is Avery Bradley, man. I mean, and before I even get to the end of the game, I think it was the beginning of the second quarter, sometime in the second quarter when the second unit was in, it was Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Jaylen Brown, Jonas Cherepko, and I think Kelly Olynyk too. And they had that little run to kind of get us back in the game. And seeing Avery Bradley on that second unit, seeing him mesh with those guys was kind of cool. But just like at the end of the game when there's about 2 minutes left and three minutes left and nobody thought Avery Bradley was coming back in because of the minutes restriction. And all of a sudden he puts on the Superman cape, comes out and puts the lockdown on Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving is probably the best ball handler in the league. And Avery Bradley is, I'm going to say, the best perimeter defender after what I saw tonight in the league. That was ridiculous. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. The two plays where he's just in front of him, and Kyrie's doing everything he can do to get by him, and he's just any other defender isn't going to.
He keeps his hands on the player that he's guarding. He uses those hands. If you watch his hands, it's insane the way he's, you know, every movement that, you know, Kyrie Irving or whoever he's defending, every movement they make, he watches the waist like you're taught to do and watches how their upper body is going to move. And he's there responding with that quick twitch, you know, reflex that he has to just basically stay wherever the player is going on offense, no matter how good their dribbles, their handles, whatever, he's following them. Now, let me ask you a question, Matt.
Yeah.
There's been, since Avery Bradley was kind of, you know, was out of the rotation, he was injured with his Achilles injury, and Marcus Smart started playing really well. He had a fantastic February. He was playing really well with Isaiah Thomas. He was allowing Isaiah Thomas to play off the ball, and people were kind of saying, well, we're going to have to pay Isaiah Thomas after next year, and then we also have Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley coming up for contracts. They're going to be free agents after next season. They're both probably going to get paid more than we can afford to keep them both. So given the fact that Marcus Smart was playing so well and Avery Bradley wasn't around, we were winning without Avery Bradley. It seems like this happens with every Celtics player. Oh, we can win without them. We don't need them anymore. Avery Bradley was the guy that everybody wanted to trade because Marcus Smart was going to be such a great player. He's going to come cheaper. We can keep Marcus Smart. Avery Bradley is the first guy we should trade. Do you think that Celtics fans are now going to switch back to the Avery Bradley bandwagon after tonight, seeing what Avery Bradley can do and just how intense his man-on-man defense is? Because the type of defense that Marcus Smart plays is different than the type of defense I think Avery Bradley plays because of just the nature of the players that they are. Do you think that Avery Bradley is a tradable guy? Do you think the Celtics can somehow keep both of them, assuming they're going to keep Isaiah Thomas? Do you think the Celtics can keep both of them? Who do you think that they're going to keep if they can only keep one, Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley?
So I love that you bring that up. And I think it's completely different where Marcus Smart can go on the block and he can actually defend the big guys on the block. You saw it with Tristan Thompson tonight. Avery Bradley, it's just an amazing perimeter defender. I'll be honest with you. If you look at my Twitter timeline, I wanted a star. I mean, my heart says I want a star. I want to beat LeBron's Cavs in the playoffs. But my brain says, let's keep these assets and let's build something great that's going to be sustainable for 5, 6, 7 years. To get back to your question, who am I going to keep? It's hard. Marcus Smart. Definitely Marcus Smart.
I want you to stay on the line, but there's a good point when it comes to Marcus Smart because I'm a big Avery Bradley guy. But Avery Bradley, you have to look at it as a complete picture here. He took sort of a hometown discount. He took the guaranteed money. I think it was $35 million when he could have got more. He's incredibly underpaid now, especially when you compare him to guys like Evan Turner that just got paid the big dollars last offseason. He's going to expect to get paid significant money. He needs to make up for what was lost in his last contract that, go around with the Celtics. And there will be teams that want to drastically overpay for this guy because he is such a great offensive and defensive player. He's an all defensive team player. And look, he's got to legitimately give you between 16 and 18 points a night. And like we said to start the show, he's one of the few guys on the Celtics that have got the stones to take the big shot in the big moment. And he did play with the big three, and he was a part of the Celtics team that nearly dethroned the Miami Heat in 2012. He does have that valuable experience. So because of the complete picture, as much as I love Avery Bradley and would love to see him stay here and be a career Celtic, I think he's going to get paid and get paid big time, where Marcus Smart is coming off his rookie deal. He will get paid, but he won't get paid to the extent that Avery Bradley will get paid. And at some point here, the Celtics are going to really have to take a look at value and value players and what they're able to get to maximize value out of these players, especially if the Celtics do go out there and add another max guy to go alongside Al Horford, and they do extend and pay Isaiah Thomas. Then it's going to be all about getting the most bang for your buck. And unfortunately, with Avery Bradley, I just think he's at a point in his career where he's going to expect to get the big payday, and I'm not sure Danny Ainge is going to be willing to give the big payday to Avery Bradley when he's got his eyes set on a much larger player, a much better player, a transformative type of player that Avery Bradley just isn't.
I definitely agree with that, and I think if you had asked me the same question last year, my answer might be a little bit different, but Marcus Smart has shown that this year he can handle the ball and he can play the point guard, which is my favorite thing about him is he is just a dog on the court. I mean, he is a pit bull and he is going to come at it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're DeMarcus Cousins or LeBron James, he's going to come at you. And every team needs that guy. That's why I'd keep Smart, but just seeing his ball handling, his assist numbers, like him and Kelly Olynyk, they have some weird kind of chemistry thing going on. He was just he's amazed me this season with how much he's changed, because a year ago I was saying, yeah, he's the size of a point guard. I mean, he's a fat point guard, like maybe Baron Davis, but he can't really handle the ball. And now my opinion's completely changed after watching him develop this season.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Matt, and don't be a stranger to the show as we sort of round our way into the playoffs here. I expect to hear from you time and time again. We depend on guys like you to call the program, so don't be a stranger. It is the Celtics postgame show. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Nick Sesento. Your final score from the Garden tonight, Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. Does tonight's victory mean to you that the Celtics are very much in the conversation with the Cleveland Cavaliers? And can this team, if they're in a position to face off against Cleveland come playoff time, can they hang with the world champions? When we come back, we'll try to answer that question right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Still a few minutes left for your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Nick Sesento. It is the Celtics postgame show right here, CLNS Radio and clnsradio.com.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, internet radio pioneers, and Celtics diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients.
CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, Celtics Post Game Show right here. Still time for you on our Movement Watches. Toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Your final score from the Garden tonight, Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. I just can't stop saying that. Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. We've been waiting for a victory like this all season long. Good to see the Celtics at or nearing 100% health-wise as we round our way into March, eventually coming to the playoffs here. Hopefully this team can continue to stay healthy, get healthier, get Avery Bradley back to 100%. And I know Gerald Green was out, you know, so maybe they're not 100%, but they're pretty damn close to 100%. This team hasn't been 100% for the majority of the season when it comes to their starters. So again, you know, Danny Ainge likes to say that he feels that this team will get better as the season goes along. And I think that there's something to that. I think you have to take everything that Danny Ainge says with a real grain of salt. You're never really sure when he's being truthful. He's probably the most dishonest Mormon on the planet, aside from Mitt Romney. But with all that being said, you know, there is some truth or some truthful nuggets in everything else that Danny Ainge says. And I think one of the more truthful nuggets here is that we haven't seen the best of this team yet. And that's sort of hard to believe. I mean, this is a team that reeled off 12 out of 13 wins just a few weeks back. This is a team that is three games behind Cleveland on March 1st for first place in the Eastern Conference. But we've talked about it here on the postgame show since we kicked this thing off back in October. whether it's Al Horford out with the concussion, Marcus Smart missing significant time, Avery Bradley missing significant time, Isaiah Thomas missing a chunk of time. You've had Kelly Olynyk missing a chunk of time to start the season. You've had either starters or guys in the 7-8-man rotation, important players to this team, miss large chunks of time. And as one guy's got back, other guys have gone down. So there, I believe it's 21 or 22 games, and that's it, that you've had your sort of the starting five that Danny Ainge envisioned when the season started on the floor together. And again, tonight the Celtics had that starting five. They've got Avery Bradley back, but Avery Bradley limited, 11 points in 22 minutes. And I was a bit surprised that Avery Bradley came back in to close out the game. I'm glad he did, but he is on a strict minutes restriction right now because of the injury. I mean, this is not a little injury here. We're talking about an Achilles, and an Achilles strain can turn into a rupture pretty quickly if it's not managed correctly. So there's all these little intricacies that Brad Stevens has got to juggle here as we round the corner, turn the corner into March and April and playoff time here. And I think he did a masterful job tonight. And Brad Stevens was a big part of the reason why the Celtics came out victors tonight. Your final score, 103-99. So, Nick, let's get back to our toll-free phone lines here at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Let's go to Kyle in Virginia. I think he wants to talk about the available big men that are still out there, and there are some guys, and the names might surprise you.
Yeah, hey guys, I just want to say thanks so much for the post-game show. I live down here in Virginia, and don't get a lot of the regional Celtics games on TV, and so I really enjoy listening to y'all's post-game show. This is my first time calling, so thank you all for putting on the show. It's really entertaining.
Thanks for calling in, bro. We appreciate our listeners.
Welcome to the program. And listen, hopefully this is the first of many conversations that you'll have with the crew here. There's like a rotating crew of six or seven of us post-game show hosts, and hopefully everybody will get to know you the next 2 months or so.
Oh, for sure. And, about the waiver wire, you talked about Avery Bradley before we went off, and really quick about him. No matter what happens this offseason, he is one of my favorite Celtics. Just the way that he just seems like a class guy off the floor, on the floor. So no matter what happens, he's just – it's so much fun when he's on the court. I mean, the way he plays defense, his demeanor, I mean, he's just I just really like watching him
all
play.
Business.
So
all
no matter what happens, I mean, he's just – I'm so glad we have him for now. But, about the waiver wire, obviously, Bogut's going to Cleveland. We get that. There were media reports that Terrence Jones wasn't the right fit. We're not going to go that direction. I just wanted to see, we tried out – I think they said they tried out Larry Sanders a couple weeks ago. That didn't go well. Do y'all see us trying to get a Luis Scola or a Sullinger or do you think they're just going to keep the 15 they have and go with that? Or – Is Danny Ainge going to say that these are my 15 guys? We'll revisit in the summer. I just wanted to see. I love our 15. We're a great team. It's just there is a part of me that wonders. I watched Derek Williams play tonight, and I'm like, man, that is who we need on the bench. A guy that's going to get rebounds and play hard. And what do y'all think about that? I mean, do you think the 15 that we have now is who it's going to be, or is there anybody who can bring it?
Well, I'll tell you what, most likely it's going to be these 15. There was a report today from Boston media that essentially said if the Celtics were to pick up any of these available big men, it would be Jared Sullinger. And they're not.
Gotcha.
This is nothing that's going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen quickly. It's sort of, break the glass case of emergency type of deal. So if there's an injury here and a roster spot opens up, Sullinger's the guy. But they're not going to actively go out there and recruit Sullinger. They're not going to put him on the roster tomorrow. He is not somebody that the Celtics expect to be a part of this team. But if somebody goes down and they need to fill a roster spot, Sullinger's probably the most qualified guy to take it. And that's assuming that he's in any kind of basketball shape. So there's a lot of variables
True.
In there. So I think that the quick answer to your question is no, but the Celtics themselves are saying that they'll leave the door open for Jared Sullinger just a little bit.
Gotcha.
Nick?
Well, I have a question. If Kyle, do you favor out of that list of players? I personally like Terrence Jones. I think he'd be a nice fit, even though he's not the biggest of guys. I think he's athletic. He can run the court. He has, those extremely long arms.
He's a reasonable rebounder. Who do you like? And more importantly, if we were to, or if the Celtics were to pick somebody up off the street, off the waiver wire, who would Danny Ainge cut? I personally think you could dump either James Young or Jordan Mickey. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
They're unrestricted after this season. But who would you like, and then who would you cut if you could get them?
Well, I think for us, when I think about the team, you know, I know that there's a big criteria, and I don't know all the ins and outs, obviously, but it seems to me like the Celtics care, you know, so much about team chemistry and about all those things. So I really don't know from a fit who would be the right fit. But when you look at his talent, and I know it's been a few years, and he may not, but if JaVale McGee can have this kind of awakening of a season this year in Golden State, it makes me wonder. I mean, Larry Sanders has length and athleticism that you really can't teach. I personally think Brad Stevens is the best coach not named Greg Popovich. And if anybody can get anything out of him, I don't know. I mean, he may be not available to play, but, I mean, Larry Sanders is intriguing to me. And, I mean, Terrence Jones, he generally averages like 11-5, and You kind of think, you know, maybe I don't know if his game fits the way we want to play, and he's kind of an undersized four man. But I still feel like that's a guy that, and again, I don't know enough, you know, about that. I don't know I don't have the information that Ainge and Stevens has, but it seems to me like it wouldn't really hurt, even if you tried it out and it didn't work. But I mean, it also says a lot about the organization that, you know, if they believe in Mickey and Young and they want to reward those guys, like, I think that's cool too. But I mean, I don't see I guess if you have a chance to give Larry Sanders or Terrence Jones a shot and just to see if it can give you a burst. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it hurts much, but I understand why they wouldn't. Those would be the two guys I might look at. I don't think Scola has really anything left. I mean, he was a great player a couple years ago, but I don't really think he's got much left in the tank. And I mean, Solinger,
he's averaging 5-4 this season, 5 points and four rebounds this season.
Well, that's not. I mean, I guess I don't know. It would probably be those two for me. I mean, Terrence Jones is a talented guy. I'm kind of surprised a playoff team hadn't gotten him already, but I don't know the contract.
Well, the reason is, I mean, Terrence Jones is looking for a multi-year deal. So they're hard to get when it's a buyout situation. You don't have the whole offseason to sort of leverage yourself and have your agent do what your agent does. But what happened, I mean, he had a breakout season last year. Really, this year it's been up and down, but still his numbers, his raw numbers, I think, are 11-6. They've been good. Generally, guys that are that young, that versatile, with that sort of upside, don't find themselves cut. But because of the unique situation with the Pelicans and the acquisition of DeMarcus Cousins, he finds himself looking for a job. But unlike a guy like Scola or Sellinger that I think would take the first offer that were given to him, Terrence Jones is A, looking for the right fit, and B, looking for a payday out of this situation.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Well, he wants playing time. It's not necessarily about getting paid by the team that he lands with now. It's about showcasing himself, on a team that will play him, and then get picked up in free agency afterwards. Because he's basically gonna get the same from anybody. He's just looking for the proper situation.
And Steve Volpett said the Celtics talked to him, and essentially that's what he relayed to the Celtics was he wants sort of to know going into the situation that he's got a guaranteed spot and guaranteed rotation minutes. And look, the Celtics couldn't guarantee that to him. You see how the Celtics roll.
Why not?
Because there are some nights he's not going to do that. This is not – whether you like Brad Stevens or not, whether you agree with his mentality or not, Brad Stevens is the guy where we've seen in recent weeks James Young comes out of nowhere and plays 22 minutes. Gerald Green has had a handful of games this season where he's come out of nowhere and been a significant part of Celtics' wins. So he's not giving – there's nothing guaranteed to anybody. And I think that – some of that Belichick sort of way has rubbed off on Brad Stevens. And Belichick there tonight in the front row, LeBron James crashing into Belichick tonight, which was funny because to me, everything that LeBron James does is sort of plotted out and planned out. And I think LeBron purposely found his way into Belichick's lap just so he could lead SportsCenter, but that's besides the point.
No, I probably could see that.
That's like the
clash of like the immovable object and the whatever it is, like the two opposites. Everything that LeBron James is, Bill Belichick isn't, and vice versa. I personally obviously prefer Bill Belichick. I love that man. He's my man crush Monday every Monday. But you know, But no, like, yeah, that's interesting. The two complete polar opposites, LeBron James crashing into Bill Belichick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Kai, you got anything else for us tonight before we let you go?
No, I mean, last thing, thanks again. I'm watching the Clipper Rockets game on TV, and this is just a small detail, but I mean, I guess I would be different than most players, but when you look at the atmosphere and the Staples Center and the Garden, it's a pretty amazing contrast, like, to watch the difference. And I mean, the Rockets, that's a huge game for LA. I mean, Clippers Rockets. And so that's just an underrated thing, I think, that's pretty awesome about the Celtics. I mean, and I think that's why, one of the reasons why Gordon Hayward's going to be a Celtic in a couple months and some other big free agent. I mean, playing in Boston, just I don't know. It's not really comparable to many other places in the league. I mean, there's not really a lot of energy in the. I know that's a small detail. That's something I notice, but to me, that's a big deal. And I mean, there's really not a lot of energy or excitement in Staples Center. And I don't know. It's just pretty. Got a great fan base, man. It was rocking in there tonight. It looked like a madhouse on TV tonight in there.
It sounded like one too, and we appreciate the phone call. You know, you find in the program, don't be a stranger as we sort of make our way into the playoffs. It's a great point, and it's not to be undersold and understated that tonight was a nationally televised game on ESPN. Another opportunity for the Celtics and their fan base to sort of showcase themselves, and I think they did the city and themselves proud tonight. Nick, going out on national TV, defeating the world champs after what was, you know, a rocky, let's say, week post the All-Star break, post trade deadline. Things weren't going the Celtics' way. And I think for all those little sort of whispers you heard going into the break where the Celtics were considered a dark horse, you know, potential championship contender, those whispers all went away. The Celtics, every single one, it seemed like every single one of their weaknesses had been exposed the last 10 days or so. And tonight, the Celtics were able to go out there and out-rebound their opponent. And one final incredible statistic, Nick, before we get out of here tonight. The Celtics now improved to a staggering 18-1 on the season when they out-rebound their opponent. So that gives you a clue as to how valuable rebounds are for the Celtics team.
Maybe they want to go out there and find a rebounder, you think?
Well, Nick, we appreciate you you stepping up tonight. You've been stepping up quite a bit lately, much like the Celtics. Yeah, you find somebody to step up, and I think you've sort of grabbed this role here. So next year, my advice to you is next year, while you do make a solid producer, a really good producer, I think you sort of found your way into the number two seed here. I got sick. I missed a couple games. Now Jared Skelly was out tonight with the same sort of sickness that I had. It's not pretty. But in the meantime, you've stepped up, and I think this number two seed is looking pretty good on you, my friend.
I enjoy it. I like a good number two. You know what I'm saying? It just makes so much sense.
That's it. We're ending the program right there. Your final score tonight, Celtics 103, Cleveland 99. Don't forget the post-game show will be available for on-demand listening. All you need to do is search for CLNS Radio, Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher. You want to like the CLNS Radio mobile application on Facebook. You find it on Twitter. Please, guys, the CLNS mobile app is what you need. You get to listen to the post-game show. You get to listen to Larry H. Russell every single Sunday morning. You get to listen to John Duke and Justin Poulin every single Monday with new editions of the Celtics Stuff Live. And as we make our way into the playoffs here, don't forget, if you live in Boston, Red Sox season is kicking off relatively soon here. So as the Celtics season really gets into high gear here, I'm sorry, you don't want to talk about pitchers and catchers and spring training, but that's what the two big radio stations here are going to do. It's going to be exhibition baseball first, Celtics second. So this is where you find all of your Celtics coverage that you'll be craving for the next 60 days or so. Today's show was brought to you by a ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free. All you need to do is head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also, Blue Apron, go to www.blueapron.com/CLNS for three free meals with free shipping. Also, our friends at Movement Watches, go on over to MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat. Gets you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, as well as Audible Podcast. You head on over to audiblepodcast.com/trynow. Gets you free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music tonight was provided by my co-host Nick Sesento and Joshua Morris. We want to thank all of today's callers, all of today's listeners to the program. For CLNS Radio executive producer, the one and only Larry H. Russell, our program. Oh, by the way, I can't let the show go without saying this. Larry's been doing a great job of posting on Facebook lately in these cute little videos that he puts out there, and he's engaging the fans. I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but behind Larry, so the camera's facing Larry, behind Larry, there's like this giant picture or painting of Larry. So it's like double Larry in the video, but I think it takes a certain type of man to have a giant mural of yourself behind you in your home studio.
He has a painting of himself?
It's either a painting or a really good photo, framed photo. Like, it's a giant photo or painting, but it's huge, and it's of himself in his home studio. And I've got so many questions about what goes into that. So I need to engage Larry on that because I find it awesome.
Get him to talk about it on air. That's what we need. Is Larry H. Russell, if one day he might call into the post game show, I'd love to hear Larry H. Russell call in the post game show. That would be awesome. That would make my year.
I need to know more about this photo, this painting, whatever it is, and the mentality that
and
goes
the
into
it. Is his collar popped in the photo?
The collar is not popped. He's properly dressed. He's looking like the true, you know, golfsman that he is in that photo. So again, just a lot to get to as we make our way into the playoffs. We'll have a lot of fun with Larry H. Russell. New editions of Larry H. Russell's show, Celtics Beat. Very, very early every single Sunday morning. We sort of got off track there, but I wrote it down, I meant to get to the photo, whatever it is, photo, painting, mural, whatever it is, I wanted to get into that, but unfortunately, or fortunately, the Celtics won. We got sidetracked by actually doing a Celtics post-game show. So once again, for our program director, Justin Poulin, and the founder of our network, Nick Gelso, for my co-host this evening, the one and only Nick Sesento, I am Patrick Gilroy. We will see everybody back here this Friday night, late night Friday night, as the Celtics take on their arch rival, the Los Angeles Lakers. Until then, everybody, your final score from the Garden, Celtics 103, the Cleveland LeBrons 99. Celtics win. How sweet it is. We'll talk to everybody Friday night.